Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 7th on the West Coast, now September the 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I think you're going to find tonight's show pretty interesting for a number of reasons. And before I bring my guest on, I want to read something that was a message that I got regarding a thank you note from the First Lady. And what I read from this is all quotes here, so I'm not speaking my mind yet until I get to the end of it. Anyway, here we go. This is a quote. As I read the following, I didn't know whether... Or I should say, as I read the following, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, so I laughed while I cried, and vice versa. So deserving of our pride. For only the second time in my adult life, I am not ashamed of my country. I want to thank the hard-working American people for paying $242,000 plus additional expenses for my vacation in Spain. My daughter, Sasha, several longtime family friends, my personal staff, and various guests had a wonderful time. Honestly, you just haven't lived until you have stayed in a $2,500 per night suite at a five-star luxury hotel. We only booked 70 rooms for our friends, staff, and family. Thank you also for the use of Air Force 1F and the 70 Secret Service personnel who tagged along to be sure we were safe and cared for at all times. Air Force 1F only used 47,500 gallons of jet fuel for this trip, and carbon emissions were a mere 1,031 tons of CO2. It costs only $11,500 per hour to operate Air Force 1F and each additional plane for the other members of our party group. These are only rough estimates, but they are close. Who's counting? That's quite a carbon footprint, as my friend Al Gore would say, so we must ask the American citizens to drive smaller, more fuel-efficient cars and drive less, too, so we can lessen our combined carbon footprint. I know times are hard, and millions of you are struggling to put food on the table and trying to make ends meet. I do appreciate your sacrifice and do hope you find work soon. I was really exhausted after Barack took our family on a luxury vacation in Maine a few weeks ago. I just had to get away for a few days. We'll write more from Martha's Vineyard when we spend our sixth vacation this year with more of our family and friends. Cordially, M. Obama. So I thought I would share that with you. Obviously, this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek explanation of what we, the taxpayers, actually paid in footing the bill for the fifth vacation. And already, the first family went on their sixth vacation at Martha's Vineyard. That occurred very recently. As I commented on last night's show, in case you missed it, it seems to me that the Messiah that's been chosen to lead this country down the toilet has two redeeming qualities. One is to play golf, and when fatigued, take a vacation to rest up for the next round of golf. That's about it. That's all I've seen, other than, as I already mentioned, the country going down the toilet. With that, and I don't intend to associate that comment with the next one, my guest this evening is a chemtrail opposition researcher, a polymer chemist, and he's quite outspoken about a number of issues. And the issue we're going to discuss tonight is very real, I assure you, and he's familiar with it. And I brought him on board tonight so we can talk about this. It's time to ratchet up a little further the truth. With that, I invite back to Evident Footprints my guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, John, and good evening to you. Good morning. Appreciate being on your show, and I'm all ears. You know, the only thing I can put as a commentary on that, when are we going to impeach this person? When are we going to do that? You know, if that was an expense report turned in by that other one there, you know what? Can we reject that and say, no, you pay for it? That was on your time. That wasn't community organizer time. That was your time.
Yes. Well, I mentioned a few things on Drew Rain's show yesterday, and of course on my show, you know, we went into some of these issues, not necessarily about how they're spending money, but who these people are and what their intentions are. And I was asked a question on Drew's show about how do we stop all this? And the first thing, and Drew and I were talking about a myriad of topics, and I said, it's to know the truth is the first thing. You've got to make the decision. You've got to exercise your sovereign choice under God, the Creator, to make a decision that you're going to learn the truth. You're going to know the truth. And then do the work. Whatever it takes. That's what we are doing. That's what we have been doing for many years, and we will continue to do. And there are others out there. In fact, I haven't even told you this, but I have a clip that I'd like to play for you and the listening audience so that you can see what one person can do. Now, there's an individual that goes by two names. Of course, he goes by the lowercase version of his name. And he separates his name as he's called, as he calls himself, not as the government, not as any conscripted agency of the government calls him. And basically, he was summoned to appear before a court, and this is admiralty law at work. He was summoned to go into the courtroom under a violation possibly of some ordinance. He didn't receive a ticket, though. Normally, if you park a vehicle on your front yard, on your property, he wasn't conforming to some code. So he went to the court to address the issue as to who he was and that they had sent this to someone else, not to him. So that is already a very interesting way to approach it. Here we go.
I'm here to correct a mistake by the court and by the city. Well, first of all, does the court have made a mistake? Are you Wilfred Keith Cox? No, that's not what I'm going to go by now. Missing information? That's a fictitious entity in terms of person legally speaking, sir. I tried to clarify this a few times, but apparently the level of the conference.
So your name is Keith Thompson?
My name is Keith. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less.
You don't have a last name, sir?
I have a family name, clan name, but that's irrelevant today.
So you are not Wilfred Keith Thompson?
Okay, one more time on for the record, I am Keith. Not anymore.
And sit down, sir. I'm looking for a Wilfred Keith Thompson. Please sit down, sir.
Actually,
please sit down, sir.
Sorry. Can't do that. I served into the court this morning.
Sir, I'm looking for a Wilfred Keith Thompson. You are not that this person. Is sit down, sir.
Bailiff, I...
Please remove this gentleman from the courtroom.
Thank you. That's the person you're looking for.
Please,
sir. That is the person. I'm trying to remedy things. Touch me, and you will be charged. I'm a Keith Thompson. Do you want to dishonor a court official?
The defendant's on LaBelle's desk.
Sir, are you here on behalf of Mr. Thompson?
I said I was the administrator for that account.
Are you here as agent for him?
Could you guys please back up? Thanks.
Are you here as agent for him?
Not as agent, as administrator, much like you are administrator of this court.
Sir, you're either him or you're here as his agent.
I'm speaking on his behalf.
Are you either of those?
Yes, the call.
Pardon?
Yes, sir, he's in common law jurisdiction, which I established as soon as I came in here this morning and reestablished again. The bailiff understood me. This other bailiff, wherever she went, she understood me as well. And this gentleman doesn't like talking.
We're going to take a recess.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
How long? How long, sir? I don't have all day, thank you. I have things to do.
We'll take the court.
Yeah, actually, please note that the judge has abandoned the court. He has abandoned ship, and I, as the sovereign in this room, clerk, claim authority, case dismissed, with cause and prejudice.
Have a nice day.
See you later.
Well, there you go. Now, some of that's hard to hear. However, the judge is pressing Keith, family name Thompson, a sovereign who declared and filed papers that morning in the court with the clerk, and copies were given to the lead bailiff, and the judge ordered him to sit down because he wouldn't identify himself as the judge was identifying him. And he held his ground, and he didn't sit down. And basically, he said to him, "I've already demonstrated who I am. I'm not an agent for this person. I'm the administrator, just like you are the administrator." He could have said much more, but he made his argument. There was a point where the judge stood up and bowed to him and said, "Court is in recess." And so he declared the outcome of the case to the judge. Quite remarkable. That's the type of action, that's the type of deed one can do to liberate oneself from the fiction that's going on. This is just, we can't devote the whole show to this, Mike, but from what you could hear the judge leave the courtroom, could you not?
Yeah, and somebody had a really, really nasty cough right there, didn't they?
I know. Probably the person holding the camera, actually.
Wiped the microphone out a couple of times.
Yeah, but
that was very interesting. That was.
They surrounded him with bailiffs, and he talked to them and said, "Are you going to dishonor a member of the court that accepted these documents?" You know, and they didn't know how to respond to that because he had the answers, you see. Right. Revealing the truth. This is on YouTube for anybody that's interested. It's case dismissed with cause and prejudice. Judge bows to sovereign. He literally bowed. You would have thought you were in Japan. Okay. So there's.
That's amazing.
There's the truth, and there's a real American, there's a patriot, if you want to call him that, and there is someone who's taken the time to educate himself as to who he is. He's obviously asked himself, he's obviously contemplated who he is. And that's a message I've been putting out since the beginning of this year to all our listening audience. Everything that we have experienced as a result of government has been the attempt to keep this fiction going on that their secret agreements apply to us. Somehow we just they just have to tell us that we have to do it, and that suffices as a reason. Mm-hmm. Here he's being called a name, which he says he is not, and therefore the person that he's asked. He's being asked to represent himself as being is a totally different person. The court's trying to recognize him as a fiction, and he's establishing the fact that he is not a fiction. And judge didn't know how to handle it, you see, and that was a packed courtroom, too.
And he dismissed the case, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he recessed the case, the judge, and so... and he wouldn't even respond to how long the recess was going to be. So Keith declared the case dismissed.
Of course, he's the administrator.
Yes, yes. You see?
Oh, that was great. That was good.
It's backwards, okay? And it's like that with everything, whether we talk about education or we talk about religion or we talk about politics or we talk about health, the health industry, or we talk about the pharmaceutical drugs, drug smuggling, money laundering, the banks and all of their Ponzi schemes, the petroleum companies, the catastrophes, the weapons that are wielded against mankind. We talk about any of those things, those all are attacks upon our sovereignty.
Yes.
Now, and in some situations, an individual is going to have a slightly different kind of fight. Maybe the judge is going to fold quicker, or maybe they're going to actually try to unlawfully detain him. You see, because once one learns of the crime, their own statute of limitations applies for 7 years. Their own statute of limitations. And I would ask anyone, is there a statute of limitations on the Bill of Rights, how long they apply after you've found out how your rights have been usurped by a criminal organization? That should fall under the RICO statutes as well, shouldn't it?
Right. Racketeering is the first thing I thought of in this whole thing. And Keith had some knowledge. That's just that basic thing that I think we all really should have. So that if we have a problem, and if you don't have a problem, I guess you could probably be looking for one if you're not compliant. See, as long as you're compliant, they leave you alone. As long as you're compliant. And, you know, Al Whitney, in fact, is very good at describing just how much that is part of the fiction, the compliance. So if you're not going to be compliant, that's the first step. That's going to get you in trouble. But knowing how to, in fact, to handle that when you go to court, I think is an extremely valuable piece of information.
Yeah. See, these are the same individuals that are telling us we don't have standing when we demand to see a birth certificate.
Right.
Which is, it's a requirement. It's a requirement by the Constitution, or when we look at the submission of the documents from the Democratic National Convention in Denver, and the omission of the constitutional provision from that document that said, in essence, Barack Obama is constitutionally qualified or eligible to run for the presidency. They took that whole phrase out of that document. Did not appear there. And it was submitted to the states that way too, you see. So there were many, many constitutions violated on election day in 2008. Many.
And it seemed like they're working in unison to make certain that this type of fraud continues. This type of, even amongst probably many, if not all, of the judgeships, no matter what courts they have, what they hold with their honor, all this is of non-honor. Not of honor, because it's only under admiralty law. So
dishonor, yeah.
Yeah, it's under dishonor, not any type of honor whatsoever. I just keep going back to the same question. Why is this person still in the White House? And I got a lot from listening to True Odds Show this evening with Mark on there this evening and Doug Millar. very good pieces of information. You know, that's been a topic of ours on the telephone that we've been talking about, and Al Whitney's been following this. All these are really good things to know, but at the same time, I know that there's attempts, there's going to be inroads into possibly having some type of enforcement on our side. I just like to know when. If we in fact had some way of stopping this. And then the other thing about the global perspective, certain countries having available currency, monies that we in fact can utilize, so this doesn't domino and upset the whole thing on a world basis. That's I've heard that more than twice now, so that's really a good piece of information. There are those out there that are still human, and they're not of these minions. They're heavily invested in all portions, but there's still these areas that glow that still want America to be what America had stood for in the past and what it is, but not what it is today. They want this thing to turn over. It's ugly. It's more than dead. It's beginning to rot. And, just take a smell when you go down to the Gulf of Mexico. That's what it smells like. Don, it's just, I guess it's a process, right? It's a work in progress. Every day we get closer to being able to figure out what we should do. Should we gather a posse up and go after some of these people? I don't know. But at least somebody can put things like that on the table. That's what we're willing to do. It's just that we have to do it in some sort of concerted method that we're in fact not just running into ourselves. And again, I'll take it back to, we know and have identified these minions that they're down to our county level or your township. They set in all those offices, in particular the ones that in fact are in charge of your treasury, the ones that are in charge of your taxes, the ones that are in charge of your elections. All of them in fact are working in unison, and let's don't forget the Public Health Service and their absolute mandate that they're going to force vaccines on it. After all this information has flowed, they think it hasn't got around enough that we don't know what they're getting ready to do again.
Well, they're going to continue to try to employ the same methods because they have nothing else to do other than that. They haven't made their big bucks from it.
Right. And it's racketeering down to the county health official, the doctor in charge at the county level. And right here in this county that I live in, it's the same thing. We're gathering information that we're going to utilize one of these days against those people when they continue to, in fact, slide in these mandatory vaccinations for kids going back to school. They've done that this year. I'm looking for the follow-through and the follow-up to find out just what the side effects have been, if any, and I can assure you there are some. We just are not hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do, I'm going to, in fact, surface with that kind of information as well. Because those individuals are extremely dangerous to your children and or your elderly parents, if you have them.
Yeah.
They're extremely dangerous to all of us, but they're targeting your children. And that's where, in fact, I don't know if anybody has in their mind where they're going to draw a line, but if you're compliant with that, then I just have to throw you mentally into the basket of being one of those drooling, watching TV fools, and you'll never escape from that, unfortunately, for you.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I've got another clip I want to play. This is from a lecture by Ian Crane.
Oh, yeah.
And this was given in a church in England. He was talking about Codex Alimentarius and some other issues. And I wasn't able to cue this exactly at the point I wanted, so I'm a little bit possibly in front. Hopefully I'm not going to leave out anything I want to bring forth. I'm just going to play a portion of a clip here, which is going to talk about something that I've brought up, many of us have brought up on this show over the past 3-plus years, and on many other shows even more than that. We've written about this, and we'll continue to talk about it until something is done.
agenda of hegemony, it'll be mainly Mexicans. And I just about mentioned this document in pretty much every one of my talks, and I've been doing this for a number of years, and it's still probably a very underread document. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses. It's written by an organization called Project for New American Century. This particular document was published in September of 2000. And if you read it, you think that this is like George Orwell on acid. Because it literally talks about, you know, the need for the US to dominate the globe and to do it by any means available, which fundamentally means militarily. It even has a couple of paragraphs on the use of pharmaceuticals to enhance the performance of the military, reducing fear, reducing the requirement for food and water, effectively turning the military into a robotic force. So it shouldn't surprise you that the US military is guilty of so many atrocities, because they're drugged up to the frickin' eyeballs. They're not human. They're not having any rational thought process. It's spelt out here. So you read this document and you think, my God, this is the work of some real sick psychopath. But then you turn to the back page and you see it's not the work of one person, it's actually the work of 27, including the likes of Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, the current head of the World Bank, Zolik, who replaced Wolfowitz, a guy called Rabbi Dov Zakheim, who was the guy who on September the 10th, 2001, announced to the media that the Pentagon could no longer account for $2.3 trillion. Funnily enough, that little comment got lost in the aftermath of the following day. But these guys have spelt their agenda out in words of one syllable in this document. So there shouldn't really be any surprise to what's going on here. And because of their belief system, and I discussed the belief systems in the DVD that I put together called Fool Me Once. But these guys absolutely believe that the more information they put out for people to see, and then they do nothing about, that gives them a mandate. So when we read information, and what I'm going to show you during the course of the evening is a lot of what I'm talking about is actually out there for people to see. But then when we elect to do nothing about it, they then take that as a mandate to pursue their agenda.
Now, this is quite an interesting lecture that he gives. I hate to shortchange the listeners on this because it's very captivating. We've talked about this particular document, Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very interesting comment that he made. These people are not human. They're not human. What is that? Just a flippant remark? Is that a put down, or does he really mean it?
No, I think he means it. Knowing something about where he's gathered a lot of his information over the years, so no, they're not necessarily all human. They, in fact, can be partially human, and they're not always in the military, and that's exactly who we've got a problem with all across this nation. As a matter of fact, they're all across this world. They're only partially human, or
they're
no
all
human.
All across this galaxy.
All across this galaxy. What's the star cluster? Venusi Bernicia? Is that the star cluster? It looks like it's called the Firefly Galaxy. No, it's just millions of stars that you... it's the one that, in fact, has just... It's a galaxy that you can see. It looks like a million fireflies. Bernicia. I don't know why I can't remember the name of that star system right now, but I can tell you that I heard that there was part of these... other side of these humans that in fact came from those clusters, and as well as Orion around the trapezium. And the trapezium, a star system within Orion, in fact, had these particular beings in them a long time ago. I think they got kicked out of there as well. But anyways, they're very ancient, and I don't want to roll into your thunder, Don, so please continue.
Okay. I'm getting some requests for the video. I'm going to direct someone on where to go to start finding these videos, okay? This is a lecture in three parts from Ian Crane, and the link is posted, so if you there, I can give out a website and that, but I think one night I'm going to play this whole lecture on the show. I think it's very, very important, not to divert from what you were talking about. There were some myths out there that certain groups, whether you want to call them, and we're going to talk about aliens, okay? We're going to talk about, when I use the term visitor, I'm going to be referring to those that belong to the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. That is their title. Okay? Their endeavors here on and around Earth are referred to as Project Alliance. Okay? Anything that you hear or read outside of that didn't come from me. Now, for those, again, I have another question. Ian is spelled I-A-N. Okay. All right. We got that. Ian Crane. All right.
Not Ichabod.
Yes. Not Ichabod. Like Ian Fleming, the guy that wrote the James Bond series. Okay. All right. And don't want to get into a discussion about MI6 tonight or MI5, but there are several groups. Okay. There are grays. There are short grays. There are some friendly ones, and there are some short grays that are not at all friendly. There are some short reptilians, 5 to 6 feet tall, or 5.5 to 6 feet tall, and there are some much, much taller than that, over twice that height in some accounts.
15 feet in some cases.
Even taller than that, okay? So where they are is really not of consequence unless you look about you. And there are many ways to recognize these beings. The reptilians will not, unless they are surprised in a compromising an unexpected way, they will not appear to you unless they intend for you to see them. Or, as I mentioned, if you surprise them. There have been accounts of them, and based on what I know, they're very reliable accounts as to who these beings are and whether or not these were actual experiences. Anyone can say, oh, that was a hallucination. The person is mad. They're a nutcase. So this is conspiracy theory. Why is seeing a reptilian a conspiracy? It's what the reptilians do that is a conspiracy, not a theory, a conspiracy. Conspiracy stands on its own. You and I have talked about that, and other guests have talked about that, and I have stated that over and over again. We didn't hear this word conspiracy with the word theory added to it until after 9/11. Anyone that's ever paid attention to the English language certainly knows that theories were scientific or that they were mathematical in nature predominantly, but we had music theory also. I studied music theory. And music theory doesn't debunk music. It explains it in a very efficient way. It's actually a misnomer to call it music theory. But it implies that music following those principles in the theory could produce the same results in different tonalities or in different meters, for example, or using different instrumentation. You can achieve the same effects. It's the coloring because of the addition or subtraction of instruments that would change the feel or the texture of the music. But the theory would still apply. It applies to every key center. It applies to every possible chord progression. And theory in music explains that. Anyone out there who's studied music and studied music theory knows that I'm telling the truth. Now, mathematics, you have theories and you have hypotheses. Music theory does not depend upon hypotheses. And truly, in the sense of how a mathematical theory or a scientific theory would be applied, music theory is a misnomer for what it represents. It might be more accurate to say the universal laws of music, to really totally understand what music is and how it was created and how it functions in reality, not in an illusory capacity. Likewise, beings from other planets are there. I mean, we've got beings from other countries sneaking over our borders. Is it insane to think that beings could be on other planets? There are a trillion planets in what we call the Milky Way galaxy. The visitors who have our best interest at heart from the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon come from the Galaxy of Hendon. That is their name for this galaxy. And they know a heck of a lot more about the galaxy than most scientists do. And most people that work for NASA or any of the intelligence agencies or any of the governments. With the exception of those that have infiltrated the governments from other parts of the galaxy. Is that an impossibility? Well, they show us these impossible situations every day of our lives in movies. They use it in language. They try to debunk the truth by making flippant jokes about it. Yet you have millions of people for years who have seen, let's use Mexico City as an example. They've seen hordes of flying saucers. Now, who they belong to is one issue, but you know, what were we met with around the world through the years when anyone would report this to law enforcement or report it to the military or report it to their government representatives or other people in their community. Oh, you're crazy. You're nuts. You must be on drugs or you're an alcoholic or you're delusional. And that's supposed to nullify the fact that they saw this, that these events occurred and were witnessed by millions of people. And then they use the ruse, oh, it will destroy the world's religious foundation. Religion will collapse. You'll have chaos, where everything else is based on chaos, creating chaos. Start a war, create chaos. Kill millions of people. You think there's no chaos in that situation? And they do it over and over again, day in and day out. They start wars. And they murder innocent people. And they tell us, this is so these people can be free. This is so they can have democracy. Well, look what democracy brings them. Look what the very act of trying to give them democracy brings them. Death and destruction. And that is not of God, and it is not of the benevolent beings that have our welfare at heart. And I don't mean handouts. I mean our well-being at heart. Now, there are rumors, and I've read these, and I've heard people talk about them with great authority, that the reptilians are from Zeta Reticuli, the Greys are from Zeta Reticuli. There's these specific places where they're from. And yet, they don't exist. How can they be from those places if they don't exist? How can any of this, why would any of this be brought to the consciousness of humanity if it's all fiction? Is it just a mind game that they're playing with us? Dr. Mike, I don't mean to take up all the time, but no, I want to allow you to respond to some of this too.
Well, okay. Are they from somewhere else? No, I think it's more than self-evident that they, in fact, are already here, and they've hybridized. I heard one from Great Britain years ago. In fact, he sent me something, and he told me in an email that the reptilian species, if you will, is very cunning. They cannot tell the truth, and the ones that are here on this world, this earth, are under it. They're subterranean, but they've hybridized with humans, and in fact, those are the minions that we're facing today, along with another sect, another sector of species, and those are the ones that are from Zeta. The reticulan, in fact, are the short grays. Very nasty, very mean. They live on energy. They literally eat energy. I'm not certain that they eat anything else, but they have created this hybrid, if you will. Don't like that word either, Don, but anyways, the best one I have. They called them star children back in the 50s. I think that's when that phrase first came about. You know, I tried to articulate some of that in that last white paper I wrote, Reversing Systemic Origins of the Pseudo-Earth. I'm convinced that many of these things that are here in our midst, diseases, so on and so forth, in particular something like Morgellons, did not originate here. At least the artificial intelligence sector of it didn't originate here. It originated somewhere else. But it is systemic. But these beings, in fact, were able to abduct young girls, 12, 13, 15 years old, and impregnate them. And then around 3 months later, they, in fact, were taken back aboard a craft, and they were shown this small child behind a transparent wall. I know you've heard this story before, but for the sake of your audience, I'll repeat it. But they all talk about this little child waving at them, and this small gray saying, "That is your child, and you will never see them again." And the next thing they recall is they wake up, or they're laying in a street somewhere, or they're back in their bed. Okay, that was a true abduction. Most of those, in fact, were the startling interviews taken under regression, regressive analyses, and hypnosis from these abductees, and this was just in the ones that I, in fact, had read about were in the United States. But it happened across the world. So you're talking about many millions of beings, allegedly, and they call them star children. So, and these are these little children that have grown up and have had children themselves. So those are offspring. And they, in fact, I believe they're at the head of all of our agencies, along with the reptilian sector, all of the agencies, all the way down to your county sheriff office. I'm not saying your county sheriff is one of these. I'm just saying there are those in those minions that, in fact, are. Mm-hmm. Of that sector. And, in fact, it just incorporates itself along with every agency that you can think of right now that we have, because that's how they, in fact, are going to enslave us. They've poisoned our air, they've poisoned our water, they've poisoned our food. There's nothing left except our spirit, and this is a battle for the spirit. And these beings absolutely hate the fact that we can reproduce and we, in fact, operate only on love. And we are in the image of the Creator. We were placed on the surface of this world in God the Creator's image. They weren't. But they despise us because they cannot love, nor can they reproduce. They can only replicate. So it's just one of those things that, I'll say, going on 4 years now, I've known whom all of these sectors are. They came from outer space. Well, who cares? As you pointed out, we've got people coming from Mexico. Wonder if that was outer space. Would it be any different? No. They're coming here illegally. The gates are wide open. whom we've got there to enforce that, to keep them out, in fact, are saying, come on in, come on in, sure, this is all yours. We'll put you on the payroll right away. Everything's free. But it's going to, in fact, stop only when most people are to the point where they're indignified enough to say, enough is enough, and no, here down to local county, if that sheriff, in fact, does anything to harbor criminality, racketeering, like I talked about at the county level with the vaccine, the flu vaccines, if they don't do something to, in fact, to enforce and stop this, then it's going to be left to the realm of what Truant had on his show and Restore America and those types of people there who are real serious about stopping the judges that we have, because they're all within these minions that we just talked about. I mean, Truant's very clearly called them, as he repeated what Jesus said about who these are. The Pharisees are vile, and they're serpents. So it's none of that needs to be covered again. It's just that those that are on the same page right now, this is the story that is unfolding, because they attack with, if they get caught making some kind of expose, if you will. It's like us humans, that when we become embarrassed, believe it or not, when you were younger, didn't your face used to get red? You were embarrassed, your face would get red. I think the same thing happens, but, and they can't help it either. But in fact, something transforms.
Well, before we get into that, I want to give a little bit more background, okay? And sure. Say, although it's not exclusively the case, in the case of someone from another planet being here, some being, a non-human being, the question would be, where would they be from if they're not from, let's say, Zeta Reticuli or the Orion constellation? Well, there are many other constellations. And the information, the mainstream information, was put out by the group originally known as Majestic 12 when Harry Truman was president. And later on, it became known as MJ-12, and the number is actually beyond 12 people today. And these are the people that are handling the top, top secret stuff. I mean, you have eyes, you have ears, you have a heart. You can look out into the sky and wonder how far space goes, and you can't imagine how far it goes. So that's a right and a privilege you have as a sovereign being created by God. As a child of God, you have the right to question that and to contemplate that and to know the truth about that. What's so ridiculous about that?
Whether that changes our explanation of history or not.
What does it threaten? The whole thing is it threatens something, but what it threatens is a secret. You have something built upon secret societies, secret governments, secret organizations, secret corporations behind the scenes, pulling the strings through bribery and blackmail, extortion, murder, torture, every kind of intimidation of politicians and people that work for government on some level. And then that extends out into the general public, too. Extends out to authors and journalists and talk show hosts, who are putting their unique message out, not the mainstream message, not the propaganda, but the truth. They're putting out the truth. Okay. So where would these people be coming from? And, well, people is a misnomer. Can't call them people. They're not people.
They're beings.
Okay. They are beings. They have a biological aspect to them, but I can tell you that their mission is one of a hiver. Okay.
Exactly.
They might as well be bumblebees or ants. They just happen to be reptilians, and we've heard that word. Oh, I said that word. Not supposed to use that word, but I did. You know, it makes me want to say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the reptilians. okay? Because that's really who's pulling the strings.
Well, I keep calling Republicans Republtillians because that's what they are.
Yeah, I'm not mocking our Pledge of Allegiance by any means, but to understand who we're really pledging allegiance to is important also. Now, there is a constellation called Pegasus, and there is a planet within that constellation, Pegasus, called Tayranka. Okay? Tayranka. It's an independent planet, but as is the case in many other parts of the galaxy, there is evil. And there is a continent of evil beings, which are reptilians. They are the same reptilians that are here on the Earth. And we know, we've seen their craft, many millions of people, maybe even billions of people at some point in their life have seen at least one of their craft, if not more. And there are certain places where these crafts congregate. One of the places historically for thousands of years has been over a huge portal over the Middle East. Currently, there's a large number of these craft. By the way, before we go into this, along this line, I should mention that they're slaves. They have their own slaves that they bring with them, and those are the Greys.
Okay. And
these are beings that they created to do their bidding, and they operate according to the same hive-like agenda, or hive-mind agenda, if you want to call it that. Just they're created for the purpose of doing the bidding of those that created them.
They're the workers.
Yeah. Now, the reptilians have several classes, and this has been written about by many investigators over the years. And there is a group which are called the Draco or the Draconians. They're the winged reptilians. They're of a higher caste within the hierarchy of these beings. These beings have crafts that glow orange when you see them in the night sky. Ken Adachi and I have shown pictures of them. We've even shown pictures of these craft exchanging data. And we've even exposed interesting phenomena that goes on in the blackness of space or the blackness of the sky at night. Because of the energy that these craft give off, they attract entities from other realms, from ethereal realms. And we see the same entities on these beings when they're captured in photographs or on video. Now, there are many people around the world, and I say this with great authority because I've met many of these people, and I know people who have personally, face-to-face, seen a reptilian. We've had one on a show very recently, within the last couple of weeks, talk about that very topic. And they can manipulate their appearance by a technique of stretching their skin and basically taking on any kind of appearance they want. They tend to, when they become a known person, a celebrity or a politician or a banker or somebody who has money, somebody who has a certain amount of authority over another group of people or somebody who runs a company, they continue to use that appearance, but that doesn't mean that's the only appearance that they use. And there are times when they can be, let's say, induced to change shape or to change form. And this can be, as I said, can be captured in pictures. It can be captured on video. Now, the constellation and the planet is 75 light years away. It's a long way. And all along the path or the route toward the Earth, the same sort of chaos has occurred on other planets. Other benevolent beings, very human-like, much more advanced than us, have endured the same problems that we're undergoing here on the Earth. This is what David Icke wrote about, the biggest secret. This has been the one factor that every time is a common denominator to all the world's problems. All of mankind's problems have been because of these beings.
And their plan.
Yes. Now, Dr. Mike, you've seen a photo or two that I made right from Google Earth exposing landing pads and very unique looking craft in Indonesia, Papua New Guinea.
Yes, I have.
Isn't that a coincidence?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Because that's where I say the usurper in the White House is from. And these are in the gorges of the mountains. This is hidden. This is hidden from you when you're looking at a Google Earth picture. Actually, there's a way to find it. Much to the dismay of the people that run Google Earth. They black out portions of the images, or they cloud them out, they airbrush them out. Just go on Google Earth and go over the Gulf of Mexico. There are about 7,000 oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico, and you won't see one. You won't see one platform or derrick anywhere in the Gulf of Mexico, but there are 7,000 of them. So there's proof right there that they mask this out.
If I can add, yeah. You recall that the object that we found stuck in the snow cap in Iceland, and we looked at that. We actually just stumbled across it one day in talking about it. I was led by my intuitive to look in Greenland for some reason, and we found this massive, huge craft. It had to have been at least... Well, I remember one of the numbers was at least 12 miles in beam, put, you know, and from that possibly 100 and some miles or 300 some miles in length, and it just looked like it was stuck in the snow, and then of course with the help of someone that was over to another country looking at the same Google Earth images, we found out that this thing was on fire or something. There was smoke rising from it. Just the very day we started talking about that, exactly 24 hours after that, we looked and we looked and we looked and we looked. Of course, they had, I think you used the word pixelated, all of that image out of there, whatever it was. Either that or somebody went down there and sprayed it really snow white so you couldn't see it. But they'd done the same thing. If you find something very... obvious, and this was obvious, and there was no reason why it would be there, let alone knowing what it was. But my point is, Don, they've done the same thing. Google Earth done the same thing with those images, is they, in fact, completely whited it out, if you will, using that pixelation technique. And it's never been back. Matter of fact, they covered that entire last third or quarter of Greenland to the south, all in the same manner. The only thing you can see is the shoreline and some of these areas, in fact, but if you look closely, it's all completely obfuscated. Mm-hmm. But go ahead with what you were saying. Yes.
Yeah, well, there are areas like that over Colorado, too, okay? And I tell you, there are so many amateur astronomers who have captured images of what's going on in the moon, and I think you have Google Moon, you've got Google Mars now, and we've been lied to over and over for decades. We've been lied to about the reality of what the world governments have been involved in regarding space. What they tell us is, you would think Mr. Rogers came back and started his show over to explain the realities of space. Okay, that's how fundamental it is, and how they poo-poo everything. Oh, we have to start, raising the money so we can go to the moon. Why? Why do we need to be on the moon? Why? What is there on the moon that we have to be there? Or why do we have to be on Mars? Why? Oh, you can say, well, you know, we have to understand the universe. We have to understand space. Well, I can tell you I understand it enough to recognize that they're lying to us about what's on Mars, what's on the moon, and what's on Venus, and what's on Saturn and Jupiter and on and on, mm-hmm. and in other constellations. Okay, I'm telling mm-hmm. the listeners and you, Dr. Mike, where these beings are coming from, and they have underground bases. We've heard plenty of accounts about underground bases. They work out with black ops divisions of the military worldwide, not just here. They have black ops in other countries. They have a base not just in Indonesia, and I've located it. I've seen many of the craft. You've never, even in a science fiction movie, seen the kind of craft I showed you
mm-hmm.
on a landing pad in the gorge in Papua New Guinea. And it's there. Now, they may have masked that out, but, you know, enough people have seen the photos. They know the photos are there. Okay, they know that these things are there. I didn't create them. In fact, Google Earth tried to hide them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you see, when you have intuition and you know something's not right about it, you can use some techniques to ferret out those facts that are being obfuscated, that are being intentionally hidden to hide the truth. We have this going on in Switzerland, in St. Gallen. That's how they pronounce it in German or Swiss German, St. Gallen. St. Gallen, you would say. G-A-L-L-E-N. And it so happens that there's, you know, the Swiss banking system is very important in terms of gold, isn't it? They traditionally have safeguarded the world's wealth, and they've done it secretly. Why does this all have to be a secret? Well, because if the people knew how much money of our money was being held there and who ultimately benefits from it, they would be outraged. Oh, there would be chaos. They're trying to make chaos, but they want to engineer the chaos according to their plans. But, you know, these are truths. They have to come out.
As far as I'm concerned, these same beings, in fact, invented this stuff called money. They brought that with them or something, because I think we're the only world in this entire galaxy that's got this stupid concept called money.
Well, and
apparently they love this. That's what they worship is money.
It's
money. Sign of the serpent.
They worship the illusion of money is what, right. They, you know, I mean, we have an illusory system. So yeah. It's a game. It's a multidimensional game. Because what we think is money is not money at all, and what they value as money, they hoard, they steal, they plunder, they rob, and they hide. See, all this is done in secret, sometimes right in front of your face, like saying twice on the same day, September 10th, 2001, the Pentagon lost $2.3 trillion. Where the hell did they get $2.3 trillion? You know, in 1995, their annual budget for normal projects was $387 million, something like that. $387 billion, okay? Where did they amass? Where did they save up $2.3 trillion? You see? Mm-hmm. Well, you've got to read between the lines. They've been smuggling drugs. First, you know, in the Vietnamese War. I mean, this stuff goes back hundreds of years. The Vietnamese War, now Afghanistan. And isn't it interesting, the day after they make that announcement, there's a bomb that they showed. I had this on my show a couple of weeks ago. Last week, I think. Where on 9/11, that night, on NBC News, they showed the buildings coming down, and the next clip was a big bomb blowing up in the night sky of Afghanistan. And the first thing out of their mouth was, the FBI and the CIA say that they're not responsible. Why would you even make that statement unless someone had blamed them for it?
Like we didn't do it. Oh, no, don't look at that.
They're anyway, so now these beings shapeshift, and We've heard many accounts. They make movies about this, okay? Is it just because it's in the movies that you're not to consider that this is a possibility? There have been many accounts of people seeing this happen in live in person. But I'll tell you this. I have the ability to recognize these beings as such when I see them in the flesh. And I can recognize it in photos in many instances, and I can certainly recognize it in video. And I'm working on a piece right now that's going to reveal that, how that's done. And I'm going to basically teach people how they can prove this to themselves, that they can find the same thing. There will be no trickery, no artificial means of demonstrating this. They'll be able to see this. Now, that's a reality. Now you have to deal with the reality. People are having enough of a problem dealing with all the other realities we're showing them. But nonetheless, this is an important one because it's ultimately the reason why the government doesn't care what you say or what you think.
Right.
And however, it upsets them tremendously when you do tell them you care and what you think. And they attack. They attack. You have to expect that. You know, you expect outcomes to be like what you see in the movies. Stop watching the movies, and you'll see some different outcomes. They show you the outcomes they want you to see. And they continuously show movies with chaos and going back into the past, hiding the present from you, hiding the potential of the future from you, keeping you in a state of fear. There's nothing to fear about this when you understand it and recognize it for what it is. That's why we're taking the time to explain this to you tonight. Because very soon you're going to see some examples. You're going to see some very interesting examples. And it's a fact.
And they should know what it is. They should know what it is so it doesn't push them into some type of fear, because that's exactly the response that they're looking for. They're looking for that. That's what they thrive on. That's one of their bogeys, okay? Fear. And death is the other one. It's from a death culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because of... I believe it is from a possession that is, in fact, that entity is there. They don't have love in their heart. They cannot love. They can only mimic love. It's a pseudo love, at best, artificial, if you will. Maybe take a lot of that, the stuff that helps you love, I guess. I don't think that's going to do any good. But what you have to understand is that I've dealt with these beings in, you know, with what I've done all really my career is environmental consulting engineering, and a polymer chemist, and now a natural polymer chemist. I just graduated myself. I don't mess with any of the stuff that it all has benzene in it, the benzene ring. I'm sick of that stuff. I've divorced that. And the people, in fact, that are in academia teaching this stuff are teaching the same thing of lethality in everything that you touch, consume, or any other thing. So I just completely brought myself completely away from all of that entity, completely. But, Don, what we've got here is they've been trained and programmed specifically to put this junk, and I just call it junk, out into our lives to exterminate humans. That's exactly what the plan is. So the big secret is, ladies and gentlemen, not only are there ETs, not only are they here, we've already been invaded. They're just finishing up the details with these minions, and in fact, want to exterminate all that is human. Anything that is of God the Creator, they in fact want to completely either control it in every way until the day that you die, or exterminate you outright by a vaccine. by cancer cells that have been placed in vaccines even when I was a child. And that's been a while ago.
But this has been going on for thousands of years. That's the point to make, is that
right.
This isn't some new thing that came out when Hollywood started making movies.
They've always been here. They've always been around.
The movies were part of the illusory reality that they wanted you to contemplate, knowing that your subconscious mind can't determine which is real, the movie or what you see with your eyes.
Right.
Or the average subconscious mind.
Oh, you know, in the werewolf, when Talbot, in fact, changed into a werewolf the first time, I remember it was on a late July evening back in the 1950s, and man, was that scary. You know, it was on a summer evening, and to see this him transform into that shape, you know, I mean, we'd only seen something like King Kong to scare us even more. But I never forgot that. That was the same type of transformation or shape shifting that we're talking about now. It may not be as dramatic as that, or it might be worse.
Mm-hmm. And then he had his fortune told. You remember they had to bring in the obligatory gypsy.
Right.
Somehow gypsies know all about this. Why
yes.
is that? Why is that?
Yes.
Why did they pick a gypsy?
I don't know, but I can see it in the symmetry of their eyes. There's something I can see in a gypsy, and this has a lot to do with that. You could probably tell me the trail there a whole lot better than I could describe it to you. So go ahead, please.
Well, there's that special gleam that they capture on the film. I mean, you know, they can make it mysterious. You know, when if you go back to that movie, what was that? The Wolfman?
the werewolf.
And Lon Chaney was
bitten.
Lon Chaney was bitten, and he was terribly troubled by the transformation that was taking place. Now, that's an aspect that's designed to create the illusion that the beings are fictional or mythical. However, the act of being bitten, the act of drinking blood, or the act of eating the organs and all of that, we're not talking about humans. We're talking about reptilians. What does a snake eat? Does a snake say, oh, that's a human being, I'm not going to bite that human being? If it feels threatened by the human, the fangs come out and it makes an attempt to strike and insert the fangs into the bloodstream and inject the poison. That's what reptiles do. Or look at crocodiles and alligators and lizards. And, you know, we could spend all our time talking about the different types of reptiles that exist. But the way it's explained, it's as if these beings have the ability to function like a chameleon does. Well, what is a chameleon? Is it not a reptile? And if you've ever seen a chameleon do this, they're pretty interesting. They can sit on a porch step and take on a pale gray look. And you may or may not notice them. They can jump off the step and all of a sudden take on a greenish look of a plant. Just in a flash. You mentioned blushing, okay? They use a technique which is maybe similar to it. But they adapt by mimicking. It's just mimicking. So they can mimic what a person looks like. And you don't see the subtle variations in the appearance unless you can stop the frame. Okay? When you're looking at something moving in real time with your eyeballs, not a movie, but in life, you're watching somebody walk down the street and you notice something strange that just you might not notice it so much with your eyes as you're going to notice it with the rest of your faculties. Certainly your feelings are going to say there's something not right here. You're not informed, so you don't know what it is.
What would be the time lapse of a frame, Don? just in generalities in what you're talking about. From a video?
Frames are usually measured in fractions of a second on film or on video. You know, you can make a flash video operate at 24 frames a minute or 25 frames a minute, or you can create something in a different format outside of flash that uses more frames, so there'll be larger files. 29.97 is one that's used, and these are for synchronization purposes, synchronizing music and sound to specify the frame rate so that you know that the music and the video are capable of being synchronized. So they have to have, to be synchronized from beginning to end, they have to have the same frame rate. Often you see YouTube or Google videos posted where within the first few seconds it seems like the mouth is either ahead or behind the sound. Well, it wasn't properly synchronized is why that occurs. 30 frames a second is very common for a lot of film, and they go much higher in high definition. They go up to 65 frames a second, and they add some frames for timing purposes and control, which takes it up to 70 frames. So you stop any one of those frames, and if the motion is not too fast, you get a very clear picture in just about every frame. It's at points where the subject is moving or changes speed where it might be blurry a little bit, but you can still get great clarity out of it. Now, what pausing a video can do is allow you to see something that is moving so fast that your eye can't catch it. You can't recognize it until you get a feel for recognizing what the phenomenon looks like, or the phenomena, because there are different ones depending on how and who and where, when, and why the being is shape-shifting. Okay? And you can catch some of the most interesting, unique things that you could ever imagine. You would say, well, this looks like it's something from a Star Trek movie. I've seen characters that look like that on Star Trek. Duh. Why do you think they show us that? Okay.
Roddenberry got the idea from somewhere, didn't he?
Yeah, they want you to be programmed to believe that that only exists in the fictional world of movies, Hollywood movies.
Make believe.
How did the Hollywood people all catch on to this? Well, they were designed and groomed for that role. And many other roles, not just shape-shifting, okay? There are many shape-shifting videos posted on YouTube and Google that have been taken off of high definition until they figured out how to filter all that stuff out. And there's one particular station in Hollywood, Los Angeles area, Channel 11, Fox 11, where they've got a whole bunch of shapeshifters doing a whole show, two, three-hour show. And they don't just shapeshift in the studio. They shapeshift out in the field when they're at a carnival or a fair or a park or some special event. People are not making this up on the video. They're showing you exactly what went out over the airwaves, much of it captured on satellite. This is a reality, and I will prove to people that they can do the same thing. They can take a video and freeze frame it themselves and produce the same images. Now, if that's done over and over and over again by lots of different people, do you think there's going to be foul play involved if they all get the same results?
Oh, yeah. Why would we do that? Why would we, in fact, fabricate anything to make up a story? Well, we already know the story. We're just looking for the visual clues that, well, you're describing, but they're more than clues. When I've seen some of these clips, but they weren't from you. They were from someone else a few years ago. And it was. It was just, you have to look at it and look at it and walk away and come back and look at it again. And it can't be fabricated. It's there. It is real. You can see it. You can do everything but touch it. I mean, you can look at it. You can't, if you understand the point. You know, what you're describing is something that will shock you. And the listening audience, in fact, needs to know that this is reality. This is the things that we live around every single day. And we're just trying to point out that they are here, and they're against you, and you got to do something, in fact, to at least recognize who they are, because you already know what they're going to do. Number one, they cannot tell the truth, and number two, they're going to determine your intent. One way or another, they're going to get the intent out of you so you don't embarrass them and cause them to shift when they don't want to.
You know, and there are other creatures besides chameleons, but if a chameleon can do it, isn't it possible in this vast universe there is another creature that can do it too? We know that certain types of jellyfish, sea anemones, marine life can take on different forms. Plants do the same thing on the surface.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah.
Cuttlefish can look like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
in all of its texture, color, and symmetry, it's just amazing they can do that. Same thing with reptilian. And you mentioned the chameleon. That is, it just... you don't know how they do it, but it's got something to do with your skin being scaly and reflective and lots of trinket stuff.
Yeah. Now that explanation came from a reptilian, by the way.
I did.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and there are plenty of people that have been around them. Many women have been around reptilians. Many.
Mm-hmm.
And there are issues of breeding. Boy, we're already out of time. But certainly we can pick this up on another show. I think in the meantime, I'm going to have this whole presentation ready to show people exactly how they can capture the same thing. It brings the movie They Live to your front porch. Or your back porch, whichever one you want. And you don't need special glasses for it. That's the great thing. You don't have to get in a fist fight with Keith David as Rowdy Roddy Piper did in the movie They Live. To get him to put on the glasses. Glasses are not necessary. It's amazing. By freeze framing, you're slowing the time down and you're giving your eyes and your mind the ability to see the phenomenon occur. And you can see it frame by frame. Things that you've never seen on a human being before. Or someone that looks like they're a human being. Why? Because they're not a human being. Or something else. And they're just taking on this appearance like you do on Halloween when you put on your costume. You pretend you're somebody else. Now, these are dark beings. They're Satan worshiping beings. They wreak death and destruction throughout the universe. And they can be stopped. They've been stopped in a lot of places. And just like you wouldn't invite a rapist into your home to wreak havoc on your family, you wouldn't invite one of these beings into your life. But they're all around us. And all we really have to do is expose them, identify them. That's the truth. Dr. Mike, it's been interesting. I hope it has been for you, too. Dr. Mike, have I lost you?
No, I just closed my mic off so you didn't hear me cough for a second ago. It's a very interesting evening. I appreciate you bringing me on the show and talking about this topic, and I assure you I look forward to the next one, sir. We can talk about cloaking. We can talk about these things that we've discovered that they do, that they have, and more so than anything else, Don, you're describing something that kind of puts a shunt in it. That's the only way I can think about this. It's put a shunt in their device that cloaks themselves through some type of speed or lapse or I don't know. It's a visual type thing, but cloaking, yeah, they can be 15 foot tall and they look like they're only 5 foot seven.
Mm-hmm.
You
can see it when they get angry. Let me tell you, you can
see it. Oh, yeah, that's what I heard.
Yes.
So. Yeah, their fangs come out and everything else. Don, it's been a pleasure. I know we got to go.
All right.
Have a good evening. Thanks.
I want to thank you for being on the show. You're going to be with us in a couple of weeks, so I look forward to that. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com with myself and my special guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. And over at BBS, want to thank Don Newsom for the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night for another great show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.